Welcome to a live episode of the Butterfly Evolution Show. I'm your host, Tammy, and I want to thank you all for tuning in with us tonight. We have a very exciting show scheduled for tonight, I don't quite know the words to put to this show, but so we'll let you decide on what this is for you and as it relates to where you are in your life in the topic of in relation to love. So tonight's topic is it really love? And before moving into the details of the show, I do want to just go over our housekeeping things. As a reminder, our chat line is open for those of you who are choosing to listen online with us. Do remember that you can submit your questions or comments, and I am monitoring the chat consistently, and we will post your questions and comments as they come in. For those of you who are online with us, remember you do have to select the number one that tells me here that you have a question or a comment for us and want to join us in queue. I will identify your call by providing you the area code of the number you're calling from and the last four digits of that number as well. So area code and the last four digits. Want to remind you all of the trash can concept. Please do continue to move your trash cans in order to promote change. This also, for our new listeners, this allows you to familiarize yourself with just how often or how much our mind keeps up with those insignificant things, even those things that seem insignificant. Our mind does keep record of that. So do continue to move your trash cans and monitor how often you return back to its old location. That's just a Butterfly Evolution thing that we've adapted here, and we ask all of our listeners to participate in that. It's always good to hear from those, and we've not had a person call in and share their aha moment about this. So if you're one and you have recently decided to do this, please do share your experiences, even with your children. Hopefully you are allowing your children to take part in this exercise as well, because the sooner we can get our children, our young people, to start thinking differently, this will be the avenue that he or she needs for change, to incorporate change in his or her life. And if you remember, if you sow a thought, our thoughts create actions, our action creates create habits, and our habits create character, and from there, your destiny is set forth. So sow a thought, you reap an action. Sow an action, you reap a habit. Sow a habit, you reach character, and from there, your future, your destiny, whatever you want to call it there. So continue to do this and have your children take part in this as well. Tonight's topic, again, is it really love? I want to read, for those of you who do not have Facebook, and we have quite a number of you that listen in and you are not able to see the description of the show, I do want to read that description tonight, as I sometimes often do, not always, but I do want to get this one out before we get into tonight's topic. Again, is it really love? And the description for the show reads as this: would it be true to say that everyone has a desire to be loved, but few are capable of loving and fewer know what love really is? Psychology portrays love as a cognitive phenomenon with a social cause. In the book of psychology, love is said to have three components: intimacy, commitment, and passion. Also, in an ancient proverb, love is defined as a high form of tolerance. I want to go a bit deeper. Is it really love? We want to take it a bit deeper and say, what is love? Why are so many people incapable of loving and receiving love? So I asked, as you prepare for the show, take time to focus on the following. The first and greatest commandment is love the Lord God with all your heart, soul, and mind. And keep in mind, that's the first and greatest commandment. Love the Lord God with all your heart, soul, and mind. The second greatest commandment is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments, which I feel is very important. But remember, first and second, and then all the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. This is a quote I found. The best way to love is to love like you have never been hurt. Is it really love? Why or why not? And this is a question that I hope by the end of this show that each and every one of us who needs to will ask themselves this question. Is it really love? Was it ever really love? Has it ever been really love? What is love? What is love for you? So because all the law, and this is the word, all the law and the prophets hang on these two, the first and second greatest commandments. All the law and the prophets hang on these. Where are we, and could all, where does all these things that are taking place in the world, how does love or the lack of real love, true love, unconditional love, fit into our lives today? With the divorce rate being as high as it is, and I didn't check the stats, but certainly we would all agree that over 50%, over half of the marriages that take place, all based out of love for the most part, we will assume that each marriage that takes place, these are two people, for the most part, who says, I love this person. I am choosing to marry this person. Choosing, we say the vows. We go through the process. We have the kids. We buy the homes. We purchase the cars. We get up in the same bed. We come back home and get back in the same bed. But is it really love? And again, based on statistics, based on what you see in your surroundings, based on what you saw from a child growing up, based on now, some of you may have been divorced, some of you may be going through something right now and asking, is it love? Was it ever really love? Do I really know what love is? And again, let's get back to society. Let's look at society for just a second here. And I'm going to ask a question, and I want you guys to get in on this. If it's really love, would we be where we are today as it relates to the divorce rate? Would you be where you are today, wherever that is, if it was really love or if it is really love? And again, what is love? So let's look at, and if you want to answer those questions now, you certainly can, but I want to go a bit deeper. And remember, those of you who are listening by way of chat, you can send your questions or comments there as well. What I feel, this is my opinion, we have seriously, significantly lost the meaning, the depth of love. We are looking for love, I feel, again, my personal opinion, to be this this exciting feeling constantly that keeps us on this high where the person has to be exactly like we are, say exactly what we want them to say, when we want them to say it, and do exactly what we want them to do when we want them to do it. But when you think about unconditional love, is that really unconditional love? Wanting someone to be exactly as you are, wanting to change and make you feel exactly how you need to feel, if everything is about you, is that love? Is that what God has given to us? Is that what God's grace and mercy is? Is that God's love? Are we loving that person in a godly fashion, in a godly manner, the way that God describes love? And let's look at that. Well, most of you probably know it right off bat, but love is patient. Love is kind. Love does not boast. Love is not envious. So where are we? Think about your life today. Are you loving that way? Have you loved that way? Have you received love that way? And if so, were you able to receive it? Because I think so many of us have lost touch with just the basic concept of that true, genuine love. And it goes back to that first and greatest commandment, love God with all your heart, soul, and mind. So many of us, I think, have missed that mark, which leads us to a feeling of lack of self-worth. We don't know who we are. We feel empty because, again, that is God is our creator. God is our source. And if we're missing that very first component, our very first true love, the first and greatest commandment, love the Lord God with all your heart, soul, and mind, if it doesn't start there, then everything else is going to be off. It's like a house. If you don't lay that foundation, everything else is going to be off. Will it continuously and always be off? Perhaps not. Will you sometimes feel that joy because you've replaced that feeling of emptiness that usually sets up when one is not really operating in or having a relationship with God? What that allows is emptiness to set forth. Now, this is just that piece alone. This is not including all the things that we just talked about that this world shows us about marriage and love. And that doesn't have to be really about marriage. You can think of family members. Where is the love in family members? You have mothers against daughters, fathers against sons, sisters against sisters. So when you think about even the perception of family love, and we see what we see going on today, how much faith do you think one really can have in love? How much faith do we really have? And remember, sow a thought, reap an action. So if our thought about love is already defeated based on, number one, we've not learned to really love God and really allow God to show how much he loves us. Although God has shown us that. Remember, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. So how much more, although he does, but have we really grasped that? Have we really sat down and tried to understand that love? Because, again, that is the foundation. That is the foundation. So let's start there. But take into account, if you've not gotten that far, if you don't know, and if you're putting into that as well what you see in this world and your own personal experience with love, where does that leave your thoughts on love? And if you be honest with yourself, for me, very, very little faith, I can say at one time, in love. Does it really work? Is it really worth it? Because it seems that the people that, I remember thinking, how can two people that marry for the sake of love then turn around because and say that we've fallen out of love? You go through all this putting together this fancy day, spending all this money, having the best day of your life, so you say. And some people, not a year later, they are out of love just that quickly. Some people, it takes years to really figure out, I'm just really not happy. Because unless it's that true, unconditional love, it may be, you may receive some gratification here and there, some happiness here and there, but it's not going, it typically does not produce in your life what unconditional love produces. Instead, it allows one to begin, as I said earlier, to feel empty. And what we do from there is we replace the emptiness with anger, with money, cars, sex, buying things. Prime example, and we've discussed this on the show, look at our so-called media, our famous people. They have everything in the world. And most of them have had so-called love several times over, in addition to all the money they have, being able to go and come at any time, being able to buy anything they want to buy. All these things does not successfully and thoroughly replace. They cannot replace what we long for, what I feel personally that each and every one of us long for, to have someone love us unconditionally with that real love. It can't replace it. That's why we see all these people, the famous people, so we say, in the spotlight, in the news, in the media, married today, divorced tomorrow. married next month and divorced again, because money cannot replace that love. People can't either. We even sometimes try to continue. We just move from one person to the next, one person to the next. And all that does is continue to build up that emptiness, especially that anger. And sometimes it'll look at the number of people that are on, as we discussed sometime on another show, people take pills to get up, and they take pills to go to sleep. They take pills to make it through the day. And then they have to take them to settle down because there's so much going on in their head. Some of these people are married. Some of them are doing this because they long for that love. So my desire tonight is to not necessarily make you think about the love that you are sharing or trying to share or looking for from someone else, but where it all begins, and that's your relationship with God. We have to stop, take time, first of all, to be able to really understand the love that God has for us, has, had, will have, ever ending, that he has for us. Again, he so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. So it starts there, and if you don't understand that part of it, the battle is really lost. And many people don't want they don't even focus on, many people disagree. Many people think that we can just go through this life, we can create our own life, we can find true love, we can last, it can exist. Then I ask you to really look around within your own family, within your own community, and tell me, how many people do you really see making it happen, who are really experiencing that true, unconditional love by choice, who's celebrating each other instead of tolerating each other? How many? I'm going to check the chat line. And for those of you who are listening with us online, please select the number 1 and come in and share your comments or ask your questions about tonight's topic. We've had a good number of shows on relationships, and I remember thinking, why am I being contacted by so many people about relationships? This is not a relationship show, and I don't want it to ever become one. But then God started to deal with me and just help me to realize that although it's not, it is a huge part of everyone's life. Again, because everyone, I feel, at one point in time, if you're not there, you desire or you have desired the true unconditional love, not just from a significant other, a relationship aspect. Women, we've longed for it from our fathers, our uncles, our brothers. Men have longed for it from fathers, mothers, sisters. We're missing the mark here. So this is not just about your boyfriend, your girlfriend, your husband, or your wife. Because we don't have that connection when it comes to love, even within our family. There's so much disconnect. And if it all starts and ends with love, then no wonder we're where we are today with what's going on in our world today. Okay, we're going to move right along. I don't want to miss anything here. Let's see here. Okay, I want to read a quote to you. Give me just a second here. Okay, here it is. This is a quote this is a C. Joy Bell C. quote. I don't know if you guys have heard of him, but he speaks a lot on or quotes a lot about love. And I want to read this to you. I have learned that you can go and do anything you want to do and buy all the things that you want to buy and meet all the people that you want to meet. and learn all the things that you desire to learn. But if you have all these things but have never been truly, madly in love, you still have not begun to live life. And I read that. Actually, a friend shared it with me. And I thought, that is so true. Because, again, love is our foundation. And many of us are still looking to be loved from childhood. We have so many things. I was reading an article that talked about how even as a child, as long as you're doing what you're supposed to do, you're being the good little boy, the good little girl, everybody is upbeat, they're happy with you, but as soon as you do something that they don't like or they feel that's out of context or not the time, appropriate time for you to do or ask these things, then the love seems to not be there. And so what a child does is grow up thinking, and we as adults as well, that we have to give something in order to receive something. And it, as it relates to the relationship side of love, for our adults, you all know what most of us end up giving, what we've been trying to give. We've replaced that love with sex, which has caused a problem. We do have a couple of callers. I'm going to stop there, and I'll come back to that. And remember, I'm going to pull you in by giving the area code that you're calling from and the last four digits. We have a caller from 678, last digits 9759. Caller, you're on the air with us.
Hey, how you doing?
Good, how are you?
Hello?
Hello?
I'm good. My name is Bo.
Hi, Bo, how are you?
And I'm fine. How you doing today?
I'm good. First-time caller?
Okay. Yes, ma'am, it is. And I learned of your show through your cousin, Latasha.
Well, good. I'm glad to have you.
Okay. And I just want to ask a question tonight.
Okay.
Okay, I just want to know, how come women say that they love you and you're in a good relationship, but they compare you to so many others that they've been with or that have been their significant other in the past, and then they start to treat you like the person that they were with treated them?
Okay, so why do they, number one, hold, the first question was, why do they hold on to the past, basically? Why do they, you're in a good relationship, going well, seemingly, but they've really not gotten over their past relationship?
Right, and they start to compare you to the past relationship that they were in.
Oh, wow. I can say for me, and I do think a great number of women do this, although men do it as well, but we're going to stick on women for now, because my personal opinion goes back to we are so broken, and men don't understand the mark that they leave on their wives, their girlfriends, their sisters, their cousins, their women who are their cousins. A man can make or break a woman. They do, if we allow them. A woman has to deal with those issues. Number one, I think they move too quickly from number one to number two. They don't allow themselves time to heal. Second thing, I don't think that they really deal with the relationship, the previous relationship. For the most part, I feel like, I know when I was going through it and could not seem to let go, it was because, for the most part, I knew that I was just as wrong or played just a part in the breakup as he did. And when you feel incomplete, you feel like, well, maybe this would have worked had I did this. But what I think we do is we hold back on the relationship because we feel it's not going to work anyway. We don't completely love you unconditionally. Because if we did, and we know this, we're afraid to really let go and love you because we don't want to be hurt. And we feel like if I just hold on to a little bit of me, if I don't give him everything, we're waiting on the appropriate time to give you everything. Well, the appropriate time never seems to really come because I'm holding back the man realizes that I'm holding back, and he may portray that as not really holding back. She's just not that interested, rather than just being candidly honest and saying, look, these are my hurts. This is my past. This is my fear. So that when I start to act out or when I say something that you know I don't really mean, you understand my hurt, you understand my pain, you understand my past, and you can respond. And hopefully you guys can get over from there. But I feel that they don't really deal with the issue and they move on too quickly. And they're expecting it not to work. Because, again, what does society tell us? That it won't work. All around us, love. I remember my son coming to me in the 12th grade, I believe, and he had the same girlfriend for a very long time. And adults would say, oh, that's not going to work. That's not going to work. As soon as you go to college, it's going to be over. And he said, Mom, why does everybody expect us to fail? And it seems like they want us to fail. And I truly believe that he heard that so much until it started to, he owned it, that it's not going to work once I go off to college. And really, it should be just the opposite. We should be teaching our kids to have long-lasting, meaningful relationships. But what do we tell them today? No, you need to date a lot so you can see what you want. That confuses you. You should find out who you are so that you know what you want and what you don't want. And you don't have to go and try 50 people to understand that. Because that's just going to leave marks on you. And I think that's what a lot of people have done. They've had so many choices. You know, if you've driven every kind of car there is, you're never really going to be satisfied with any one of them because you're going to be comparing them all to all the others.
Right. And then, you know, that's my main focus, you know what I mean? Because, you know, I want to be treated like my own self. I want to be regarded for the person that I am. And not for the person that the other person was. You know, and I totally understand everything that you're saying, and you truly helped me in this conversation about that. However, I live in Atlanta, so it's kind of hard to get people to see, you know, exactly what you're saying when you got so many independent people here. You know, it's basically most everybody is striving to really get their own business established. So you have a lot of well-to-do women. You have a lot of women that are, that women live, right, for whatever you call it. Like, they're just, like, independent women or whatever. So it's kind of hard when you're a guy coming across and you're like, hey, I want to be judged for the person that I am and not for the past that you've had, you know? So I understand totally what you're saying, and you really helped me, though.
I say just make sure that you continue to be who you are and don't give in to, I understand the women's live, the independency. We actually did a show on Are Women Too Independent? And I think so in some ways. I think it has really helped to break down the divine order and structure of relationship and marriage and how it should be. Because it's okay to be independent, but you still have to allow order to take place.
Right.
And again, I just don't think people have the faith that we need to have in love. They just don't have it. They're expecting it to go sour, and they're expecting the person has to be exactly like them, and everything's going to always be perfect. And it's not going to be. You just have to stand on your choice, meaning whomever you choose to love, that's who you need to work on loving. But so often we put so much work prior to the loving, until once the love takes place, we're pretty much done. We think that it's over, but that's when it starts. When you truly are in that relationship and have made a commitment, that's when you start doing all these things together. But we start doing many things before really getting to know the person and understanding. So again, as I said, when this person acts out and says something that you think, why is she saying that to me, or why is he saying that to me, or why is he shutting down, or why is she shutting down, then you will understand and you will know what to do to make that person feel like, hey, I'm not that guy. I'm not that woman. and I'm not going to walk away from this, but you have to help me and help us if we're going to be in this together for the long haul. Communication. And people are not doing that. People are not coming in and coming clean.
Right.
They're holding it, well, holding too much in. So I hope to answer the question.
You
that's
have.
The best
you really have.
Do.
You really okay. have. And I thank you so very much.
Okay. Thank you. And continue to call in. Thank you for being a first-time caller.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, we have a caller I'm pulling in from 617 with the last four digits of 6367. You're on the air with us.
Praise the Lord, sister.
Hello, how are you?
I'm doing absolutely fantastic. I'm just enjoying listening and enjoying your what you do so well, you know, and bringing people together, you know, to have these conversations. And I feel privileged and honored to just to be a part of just being able to listen, because it helps me in my understanding, because as a Christian pastor, it's important for me to hear, where people are and always, be able to identify where we are or where the challenges might be. And so I'm just glad to be here. And I think this is a wonderful topic. I think it's the one that I advocate sometimes most other people don't want to hear me talk about, because people love to hear me talk about, God's going to beat you up and, throw you down, and God is this mean, nasty dude who, is mean and does mean things, and that's not the God that I know at all. So I find myself preaching, teaching, thinking, talking, and living love and trying to experience love and share love as because I believe that is the foundation for the ministry that God has given me is that Jesus Christ himself was a man of love. And I think sometimes as a person who has not always been saved and have been victim of, like the brother, who just the previous caller, was talking about, like there's so many different people going, so many different thoughts and so many different perceptions and takes on it. When you don't really know what to believe, you don't really know what you expect. You don't really know what you're getting, because you and I could be meet each other, sister Tammy, and we look each other in the eye, and with all the sincerity in my heart, I look at you and say I love you, and you say you love me. And man, oh man, we could be so further from the truth, so further from being able to be in agreement, because one thing you said, we both said the same word, but we could mean completely different things. So the brother who's grown up in the abusive home, where either there's verbal abuse or physical abuse or some kind of abuse, he heard his mother or his father say, I love my mother, or I love that woman, and then he see me punch her in the face and drag her down the hallway steps. And then all of a sudden, you look at me, who come from a normalized or say another kind of family where love was differently defined. And all of a sudden, you looked at me and said love. And then all of a sudden, you said, "Why is this dude dragging me down the steps? I thought he loved me." But so I know from being a divorcee myself, and making that mistake myself. I found that I was able to not make that mistake in this marriage that I've been in for 12 years, because I clearly understood the differences between the two, and I clearly made a point to make sure that my definition of love and my wife's definition of love, or the woman I was dating at that time, that if we ever did say we loved each other, that we had an agreement of what the definition of love was. And so if you look at the word love, in its clinical sense, that the word the word love is actually a Greek word that has four different definitions, but three of them are the most commonly thought of. There is eros, which is erotic or passionate love, And sometimes, you know, if me and you are liking each other like that, you know, Sister Tammy, then I need to say I like you the way you look, and I like the way your body look, and I like the way you appeal to me in a physical kind of way, because I might not want to be your friend very long. I just might want to do the doggone thing. I mean, might want to be with you that way, because the thing about it, if I only love you that way, Sister Tammy, if something happened to you and you were not able to look like you looked when we first met, then don't be surprised if I don't love you no more, because I liked the way you looked, and I was in love with your physical presence. I wasn't in love with you as a person, because the second kind of love is called philia, and that Philadelphia love is the same word that comes from the word Philadelphia, means friendship. Friendship and family and loyalty, you know what I mean? That kind of love. So, and then, of course, the love that we all, I believe that we all should strive for is that one love, that term that is the most enduring and the one that is most encompassing is the one called agape, which means an unconditional love. You know, like a mother has for, you know, like a mother has for her children, and a person has for somebody who they are connected to, you know, that in spite of whatever happens, the love that they have and the commitment they have to love one another is not based on a feeling, it's based on a decision and a commitment. And more importantly, you know, if we look at it from purely a Christian standpoint, and I pray, you know, and as a Christian pastor, you know, Jesus Christ talked about love in many ways, but more importantly, he showed us what love was. He showed us that love was not just a statement when he said that I loved you, you know, God so loved the world, but then he also showed us what love would do when he died on the cross for us, and he was willing to go through pain and sacrifice, that he was willing to, you know, to subordinate all of his opulence as God and all of the things that he could have and afford himself as God. He gave up all that to show us his love, and that's what draws us to Jesus Christ, the person. You know, like this guy loved, you know, and he loved so much that he gave his life. So in the book of John, it says in the epistle of John, chapter 4, verse 8, it says that God is love. He said, this commandment I give you, that you love one another as I have loved you. And then it says, and that God is love. So if you look at that in its fundamental sense, Sister Tammy, that not only is God is love the noun, because God is love, but also God is a verb. It's an action word. We see how limbs love would go, you know, what things love would do when we look at the life of Jesus Christ. So sometimes we need to go one step further when we talk about love, and maybe go one step further when, if you say you love me and I say you love, let's ask that brother who's on the line, when he meets that new sister or that sister he's with, and say, sis, why don't we talk? If you love me, and you say you love me, and if I say I love you, let's define what that love means. Let's talk about it. You know, and then of course, if you look at it from 1 Corinthians chapter 13, Tammy, it says love is kind. It says love is patient. You know, love does not rejoice in iniquity, but love rejoices when the truth wins out. Love bears all things. Love believes all things. Love hopes all things. Love endures all things. So love ain't really a feeling, Sister Tammy. Love is a decision. Like I'm sure there have been times where Brandon, you loved him because of everything that he did, like when he got good grades or when he was doing great stuff. But then was times when Brandon got on your nerves and you wanted to hit him in his head. But your decision to love him never changed. And that Brandon could mess up right now, Sister Tammy, and that would always be your son. He could let you down right now, Tammy, and you could get mad at him. But your love of him would never not change. You would be disappointed in him, but you would always love him with the kind of love that you would go out of your way, even when he was wrong, to be able to help him any way you could, because that's what love will do. And that's the kind of love that we don't, we ain't discussing love, but we don't really look at love. And especially when we talk about being together in a real sense, and I'm talking about me, you know, people like me and you who talk about being together, and we use the word we love with one another, but so quickly, if something happens between us, and I'm not talking about you and I, but I'm talking about us who consider ourselves Christian and know Jesus, but in a drop of a hat, we will drop one another. At the drop of a hat, we will change our mind about loving one another, and that meant that we really didn't love one another from the beginning. That wasn't the kind of love that's not Christian love. That might be filio or eros, or might be filio. We weren't having sex, so we weren't attracted to one another. We might only had a friendly kind of acquaintance kind of relationship, and we called ourselves friend. But the reality of it is, if we are Christians and we say we love one another, we should fight for the relationship. You know, we should stand with one another, even when we disappoint one another. We should be able to even tell each other whatever we need to say to one another, but speak the truth in love. And that's what's so missing.
There's a couple of things I want to go before you get too far in it. I want to go back on a few things you've said, and you've reiterated a couple of things that we kind of brought out at the beginning of the show. So that just kind of tells the audience that really the foundation starts with God. But you mentioned about being defining love and all of that. What I think, and I want to really put some emphasis on this, we are looking for love to define us or help to define us, my opinion. And what we've missed is allowing God to define us, to be created, to be recreated, renewing our mind, to not be conformed. We've become so conformed and addicted to this world until we've taken God out of it, and we don't know who we are. We don't know who God is in us, to us, through us, and we don't know who we are through Christ. We've just totally taken God out of the equation, and that's why I want to really get people to think about, before you can think about a husband, a wife, a girlfriend, being a father, being a mother, a sister, you've got to understand that first commandment is to love God with all your heart, soul, and mind. Because if you can get that taken care of, if you can settle that, if you can come to grips with loving God, and if you start to love God with your heart, soul, and mind, it won't be so easy to walk away from your wife or your husband. It won't be so easy to walk away from your sister or your brother or your cousin. It just won't be so easy to do that, because now you are walking, you are renewed, you are becoming Christ-like, and as you continue to grow and become more Christ-like, you love more, you want to love more, you want to live better, you want to do better, and you certainly want to love better.
The thing about it, Sister Tammy, is that we looked at, like, for example, if you as a Christian sister and me as a Christian brother, If we make a decision that we're not only going to respect one another, but we're going to love one another, that means that there's a commitment that transcends feeling and circumstance. That means that we're going to find every reason to stick together and stay together, and the love that you would have for me is similar to the same love like you would have for Brandon, the same love like you would have for someone. But that kind of love that we're talking about, it can only be inspired through being a new created person in God. You can't do that in your flesh. A person who does not know God, a person who is not recreated via the Holy Spirit and through the transformation that comes through having a relationship with Christ, does not have the ability to love like we're talking about. It's just not there.
Okay. I'm going to bring Steve in with us as well. He has something he wants to share.
Amen, amen, amen. Amen. Even in the book of Deuteronomy, how in Deuteronomy chapter 6, the Bible reads, and it says, Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4, it says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength." Now, just think about that a minute. What do that look like for each individual Christian? That there's been a commandment given by God that you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul and with all your strength. This is the commandment God give us as individuals. What do that really look like on a Christian of today? To love the God, the Lord our God with all our heart, our mind, our soul. What do that look like? And I think if we can ever really master that one, if we can ever come to grips or come to terms to even what that looks like, it will make every other relationship in our lives flow a whole lot smoother. If we even look more intensely at the first four commandments of God, the first four commandments of God is our relationship according and correlating to Him, strictly with Him. Then the other six commandments, the other six says how we should be towards one another. I think what has happened in the body of Christ, and I've been guilty of it also, that we have not fully mastered how to love God in such a way. We have an idea, we have an iota, we have a small smidgen of an understanding, but to really master the Lord thy God with our heart, mind, and soul, with all our strength. I mean, that's the very first thing he says to do. And then he bring on three more commandments that kind of undergird that first commandment. Then after the four commandments, God very methodically bring down six more as to how we should treat one another. And I really think, Pastor Harris, and just listen to the audience, that we have not fully come to turn or grasp what that looks like, loving God and that ability to love God like that. Jesus says in the New Testament, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Then sometimes we so easily break his commandments. Oh Lord, please forgive me. I've been guilty of it. I even questioned my love for God numerous amount of times because of some of the mistakes I made. And saying we won't make mistakes, that's what grace come for. But Jesus don't give no gray area. He said like this, look, I'm paraphrasing. Look, bro, you love me, keep my commandments. And he just cut it off. And he don't add no anything to it. If you love me, keep my commandments. And I think if we can ever really tap into the love of the Lord, your God, with all your heart, with all your soul. What is my soul? How can I love the Lord with my soul? Then it says my heart. Now, what is my heart? Then what is my soul? Then it says this, and with all your strength. That's the very first thing God said, straight out the gate, straight out the jump, love God this way. And then after he says that, he goes and adds this to verse 6. And these words which I command, this ain't an option. Hear this. This ain't an option. This ain't a gray area. He says, and these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. And he goes a little further. He pushed the envelope here and says, you shall teach them diligently to your children. How many of us miss that? Skip that? Bypass that and jumped into something. Jumped into a relationship. And I want to go so as far as to say a lot of us are guilty of that. We are guilty of that. And it's a very strong emphasis on the scriptures as to if you want to get it really right, start with the first commandment. Start with the first commandment. And I know for me, and it's just for me, I don't know about anybody else, I made a lot of mistakes and a lot of relationships. I thought I loved God, but, when we look more intensely at Scripture and what it really saying, he said, if you really love me like you say you do, if you love me like you say, like your mouth say you do, let your actions speak louder than what you can say. Let it line up with my scripture. Stop making excuses to fornicate. Stop making excuses to cuss somebody out. Stop making excuses to treat your neighbor wrong. Stop making excuses why you're failing to keep my commandments, yet you want to jump on your knees and say you love me, but you won't keep my first commandment. And I ain't saying, again, we're not going to make no mistakes. We're going to make mistakes. Grace come so we can grow. But I don't think he expects us to keep making those same mistakes over and over and over and over again. But if we do, we still have an advocate with God. But I think once you really get to a level of maturity, some things just have to cease, Sister Tammy.
All right. Okay.
Dr. Harris, you there?
I'm just sitting, man. Listen, man. I'm just listening. I say this, and I'm a I think it's really not much that we can add to that, I can add to what you've already said, but if we go net and go and fast forward to the New Testament, the ultimate, if we look at it, it says that Jesus Christ was the visible image of the invisible God. So if we want to know exactly what God thought about this whole love thing, he gives it to us right in Luke chapter 10, verse 27. And there was a conversation between him and a lawyer or a teacher of the law. And he said, what should I do to inherit eternal life? And he said, you shall love God with all your heart and all your soul and all your strength and all your mind. And then he said, and love your neighbor as yourself. Because it's easy for us to say I love God. But then he says, but the love that I have for God should translate into how I treat people. And a lot of times, we are first to quickly to say how we love God, but then the real barometer of how we love God is how we love other people, how we treat other people. Our real love for God is seen in our relationships with people. You know, we say we love God, but we can't get along with nobody, Tammy. We say we love God. You know, we shout on I love God. And we are the most hard to get along people with ever. Most unforgiving, most hard to get along with, most argumentative, most dogmatic. And Jesus puts the whole thing together. It says that love that you have translates in how you treat people. Because he said, because the guy asked, what would he do to inherit eternal life? He says to love God. And then that, because when I love God, it brings me into a place of me and myself, self-actualization. And then in that self-actualization, then in that same love that I have, that I've learned from God, begins to be lived out in how I treat people. Because truly, people will know if I know God by the way I treat people. And that's a piece where we drop the ball, because like I said, we shout and holler and dance on I love the Lord. But I'm going to tell you that your love for God is marginal at best if you can't get along with nobody. How you relate with people, your love for God. Your love for God allows you and gives you the ability to have that same kind of agape love for people. You know what I mean? And then I wanted to say this one last thing. And like I said, we don't want to go that far. We don't want to go all the way, because the master teacher brings that all the way. Like I said, we hear it, the Old Testament, but then Jesus Christ himself brings it all together, to show us what he said, what's the most important commandment in the Bible? And Jesus put them two passages together and said everything, the prophets and everything in the scriptures, all rest upon this foundation, loving God and loving people. And the thing about it, a lot of times I heard you also say this, Tammy. You were talking about how people get together and we're looking for somebody to complete us. Well, what we got into, we done made the ministry of Teddy Pendergrass. We're looking for a 50-50 love when it ain't nothing about 50-50. It's about 100%, 100%. One whole man getting together with one whole woman. See, we got half of folk looking for another half, and I need to be able to be at a point where I can be by myself and be okay by myself, Tammy. Some of us are saying, I ain't going to be until I find somebody else to love me. Well, guess what?
That reminds me of a book that I read, God, Chicks, and the Men They Love, and it talked about you being a half person. Even if you find a whole person, that still just equals one and a half. And in order for this to work today in this world, in this society, number one, you just got to know that you know God. You got to know where you stand. You got to know where you come from and where you are. You got to know that you have a relationship and you've been transformed and you can no longer do or be who you used to be and do what you used to do. You got to love your wife as Christ has loved the church. Women, we got to submit to our husbands. I mean, that with loving God with your heart, soul, mind, strength, when you get to a point when you are growing and you're becoming Christ-like through that transformation, through the reading of your word, staying on your knees and practicing obedience and being convicted when you are out of God's will, knowing that you are. But see, if you miss that foundation part, again, getting back to the house, if you build the house without the foundation, the house is no good. It's not going to stand. It's not going to last. You may have some consistent here and there gratification. You may feel up this day, but it will not last. It's not going to bring what unconditional love that steers from two whole people grounded in Christ. It's just not going to produce the power that brings. So that I wanted to get that half and half because, again, so many people are not whole. They don't know who they are. They are looking to be defined. They're looking to be shown love, but they are not able to give it. And when you're not able to give it, you don't know what it is, and you're not able to receive it.
And Sister Tammy, you know, it's interesting, too, because, you know, and I appreciate hearing a sister talking about being in submission, but you know, the good part about that is that it really requires, again, like you said, two whole people understanding the same thing, because actually that scripture, it sits on the shoulders of the woman is in submission to a man who's fully submitted to God. So when you sisters go out and find you a half a dude, you know what I mean? Who got a whole bunch of mess with him, who really doesn't have a relationship with God like you do. So to be in submission to him, you actually setting yourself up for a lifetime of heartache because the brother should be because that scripture actually also goes in to talk about a man loving his wife like Christ loved the church. Well, you have no concept of how Christ loved the church until you have an idea of who Christ is and you have a relationship with him. So the sister as many times I find, especially in our churches, is that we got sisters trying to do it to the best of their ability that they know how to, but this really is always set off and it doesn't really work because you got brothers who know that scripture and use that scripture to their advantage, but the scripture is validated by a brother who's in full submission to God. That makes it really easy for the woman. Because when you got a brother who's in full submission to God and he's loving Christ, he's loving her like Christ loved the church, that means the sister can't do no wrong anyway. That means everything that she does wrong is still okay. Everything, every mistake that she makes is still not even an issue because if he is the image of Christ in the house, then he is the perfect image of love. But the bottom line is we usually end up with a half a situation there. We end up with a one person giving everything, like many times it's usually the sister and the brother who's just marginally there, you know, and not necessarily giving, you know, the sister. The sister ends up shortchanged.
Well, I think a lot of time also what we come to find out, it's probably been a while since you've been on the dating scene, Pastor, because you've been married for quite some time. But what we come to find out that's in the church setting, a lot of times you got a lot of brothers that want to take a vow of celibacy that's really trying to walk that thing 150% with God. And a lot of times, it goes back to that first commandment that each individual have to have that strong love and relationship with God like never before. Because the Bible gives a clear indication when Eve got with Adam, Adam had somewhere to stay, Adam had a relationship with God, then Adam was a provider. Now, we can find that in the body of Christ, but what we have to do is to find that authentic, agape love individually for God, just for God alone. And I think a lot of times each individual find themselves, or you could be in a place to where certain things may look a certain way, but till you examine that up close and personal, you really don't know what it is until you get up close and personal. And I believe it all goes back to that first commandment when each individual ma- master that. Master that. Really master that. Tap into that. The rest will become a cakewalk in a sense. Because everything else follows behind that. To love
Amen.
God with all your heart, mind, and soul. That's everything. Not a little bit. Not a look like. But that's everything.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And the only thing that I'm saying, that if you look at it, that what you said is absolutely correct. But again, we cannot move away from that. Christ Himself said, "Here are the most important two scriptures in the Bible." He said that. He was asked the question, "What are the most important passages in the Bible?" And Jesus Christ, out of His own mouth, told us what the most important two were. He said it. So, Pastor Harris,
that can bring you right back to seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. You know, adding that scripture to that, we can close out the show. But again, what people are not doing, we've taken for granted the grace and the mercy and the love that God has for us. You know, you mentioned about it's good to hear a sister talk about being submissive. This is one sister, if you would have told me, I would have been longing to be able to be submissive to someone. I wouldn't have. If you'd asked me that a couple of years ago, I would have told you, you've got to be out of your mind to think.
Mm.
But that's what that transformation, it wants you to walk. It gets you to a place where you want to walk in obedience. Do I do it daily? Absolutely not. Am I convicted on many days? Absolutely so. But I thank God that I've come to the point where I know to consider and count it all joy, because all things work to the good for those who love the Lord and are called according to His purpose. So what I choose to focus on is the things that I have overcome, rather than looking at where I still am in this particular situation, because that's the enemy's attack on us. And also, the word also tells us that we need to keep our mind on those things that are pure good. So when I choose to keep my mind on the things that I've overcome, and even in your relationships, because I keep taking it back to relationships, because at the end of the day, most all of us long for that person in our lives from the start, from the day we're born. And I'm going to say this, guys, men, brothers, husbands, cousins who are men, you have no idea, you have no clue what role you play on the lives of the women in your lives, whether they're your sisters, your cousins who are women, you have no idea what role you play in their lives. But from the day that we're born, we long for that relationship with our fathers, with our mothers, with our cousins, with our uncles. And what we've allowed God to do is remove us so far from, what we allow the enemy to do is remove us so far from that first commandment, that second commandment, that foundation. Because only through those things are we able and capable of becoming more Christ-like, that allows us to love as Christ did, to be obedient and follow those commandments. That's the only way that you can be consistent and have that true joy and that peace that surpasses all in every area of your life.
Well, I definitely think this is a great conversation, and I think this is really probably could even go even further to you know, as the listening audience is out there, you know, I wonder how many of our, you know, young brothers or young sisters that are listening under the sound of my voice could go out and practice that. Like go out and maybe ask the person that they're in a relationship with to define, you know, what love is. You know, and I would love to hear, and I pray that for the most part that them and the person they're in a relationship with come to an agreement and you know, and find out, you know, how they can work together and see how that would change their relationship. And then, of course, you know, if they would even take the risk to go on and look at Corinthians chapter 13, where it talks about love is kind and love is patient and, you know, love bears all things, hopes all things, endures all things, and love never fails. You know what I mean? You know, love does not rejoice. Love is not rude. You know what I mean? Like, you know, like if you look at that, because I know for the person, you know, I've been married for 12 years now, to this woman that I have been, and that I'm with, and we started out right, Brother Steve, and that was a wonderful thing, because Lord knows, as you know, Brother Steve, the relationship has had its challenges, and if it would not have been founded upon something right, and agreement that Jesus Christ was the key and love was the imperative, that I was sick of her and she was about sick of me too. I was saying I married the wrong one. You know what I mean? And I'm sure she did the same thing. She married the wrong one. But because we made a decision to love each other, that it transcended the field, that we went back to the original thing that we agreed to at the beginning, and we kept our commitment to love each other that way, and our love stood the test of time. And today, we are better than we ever could imagine. And in fact, now we can sit and talk to other married couples and tell them what real love can do.
Amen. Amen. As you're saying, and I mean to interrupt you, but I can bear witness to what you're saying, and because we was in ministry together, so I know your wife, I know your family, I know your kids, so I know this ain't just a lot of fluff you're talking, that you actually lived it, you walked through it, but only because of God's grace and mercy, because y'all had the foundation in the very beginning, that it's sustained and God has blessed and ordained it. And I know, even right now, I'm going to put myself on the altar right here. That's why tomorrow's show, The King and You Coming, the King and Queen Coming Clean. I know as a single brother, I kind of went through some women, and I was single not on purpose, but because of whatever excuse I had at that moment. It wasn't good enough because it wasn't. That I wasn't submitted, but I didn't submit everything to God. You know, we want God to be the Lord of our lives, but the Lord of everything, the Lord of my flesh, the Lord of my thoughts, the Lord of my ideals, the Lord of my money, the Lord of my relationship. But when we say that, I know back in the time, I know I was staying in Boston, I wasn't able to really complete that with a victory in a sense. I had some victory, but not total victory. You follow what I'm saying? For whatever reason, I allowed me being single, raising my two daughters, to be some type of, okay, well, God, at least I'm raising my two daughters. I'm doing the main thing as a man, but I got to fornicate because I ain't strong enough. Whatever reason why, it wasn't still right, is what I'm saying. So I'm saying now today, and what you just saying about the foundation of family and how you and Donna start out, it speaks to the longevity and how good God is, and how God will sustain a marriage if you started out according to God's perfect plan and not our own perfect will.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
That's the only way to sustain. Because we don't pray together, cry together, ate at the Chinese restaurant together, and everything else. But at the same time, I seen the integrity in your marriage and your relationship, so I can really appreciate that. And that's why tomorrow on The King and You, Kings and Queens Coming Clean, it's a lot of things that a lot of single brothers are doing, and even single women, and single women, because you can find a lot of women in the church, go to church every day faithfully.
Yeah.
But they dropping it just as quick as a man dropping it. They, matter of fact, they ain't even bucking on it.
They will leave the man.
Listen. The devil will attack you and do everything he's big and bad enough to do. Somebody got to stand, though. Somebody has to stand. And that's what really tomorrow's show is about, when men and kings and queens coming clean and really standing for the righteousness of Christ. Not looking righteous, not sounding righteous, not quoting a bunch of scriptures, not having on a shirt and tie, but living what the words say and then walking the victory that comes with that.
I think tomorrow is going to be a profound show. I think somebody might get a breakthrough tomorrow, Brother Steve.
Amen. Amen.
Pastor Harris, are you going to be able to be on?
I'm
going to
do
while?
Everything. I told my brother that I was gonna be a fly on the wall so I could hear what the Lord's gonna do. But he and I chatted earlier. I'm gonna do every. I would say unless I'm dead or Jesus come back tomorrow, you can expect me on tomorrow.
Well, I want to encourage, and if you all, the listeners, do ask women and men. So grab your friends, ladies, gentlemen, come back, because, you know, we have to do better with keeping our families together. We have to do better with making the right choices so that people are not breaking up and kids are not being broken. We have too many. There's nothing we can do about some of the families. It is what it is now. But what you can, what we can do differently is if we can live differently, love differently, live better, love better, so that we can make better choices in choosing a mate. Because at the end of the day, it becomes about your choice to do life. That's what I like to call it, to do life with someone. I'm choosing to do life with you. Not saying there's not 100 more people out there that you can make a choice to do life with, but it becomes about two whole people coming together to say, we're going to honor God through our marriage, through raising our children, through the way we live, the way we run our household, that we are choosing to do life together and honor God. And the only way you can do that is, I'm bringing it right back to the word, the first and greatest commandment. And the second, and then when you think about the second greatest commandment, the love your neighbor, I remember hearing a friend and a pastor, a friend of mine, who said, you know, people get so caught up in the neighbor being across the street from you or next door to you, but it could be and should be the person that wakes up beside you. You should not treat anybody better than your wife. If you got a wife, nobody else should be your baby. Nobody else should be dog to you. Nobody else should get those kind words. Your wife, your husband comes first. We've got it. I hear people say, even with their children. God doesn't say you become, the word doesn't say you become one with your children. It says you got to let them go, because they got to go out and do honor God in their marriage. But with your spouse and with your wife or husband, it says you become one. It should be so that you're so one until when you go. I've heard people say when one spouse dies that they know that the other one's not going to make it long because they were that connected. They were one.
Amen.
And that's how it, I feel that's how the word intended it to be, that you should be so closely connected until if there's something wrong with you, I should know when you walk in the door. I should feel it before you get home. I should hear it in your voice on the phone. But that means spending time together, and again, women being submissive to your husbands, and husbands loving your wives as Christ have loved the church. But you gotta know how Christ loved the church.
Right.
You gotta understand that what took place, and understand that grace and that mercy. And until you are transformed and renewed, and you are no longer conformed to this world, that you are a spiritual being in this world, just trying to get through this worldly world. Not trying, but getting through it with God.
Right,
and until I started to experience God, those days I didn't like myself.
Mm.
Right.
So.
And a man really have to be submitted to God. It can't be no halfway submitted, look like submitted. A man really have to be submitted to God. That's the first and foremost. A man really have to be submitted to God. In every aspect of his life, from his finances to his relationships to his attitude to his worship, everything about that man has to be submitted to God wholeheartedly. 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 And if a man is really real, if he really submitted to God, it's some things he going to say no to. It's some things he going to turn away from. It's some things he going to turn down because of why. You know, it's no better way. There's no better life. There's no better blessing than doing it God's way. The world got a lot of stuff to offer you. And sometimes money, cars, things, and clothes, and houses, all those things make you think you're really running the show. And I know I kind of got caught up for a minute myself. And in that, it makes you think you're running the show. You the man. That don't make you the man. The Bible says a man's life does not consist in the abundance of things in which he possess. So my possession of whatever does not make me a man. That don't make me have life. What makes me have life is my submissiveness to God and God's will, and follow sequence with what the word says. And what the word says. And I believe tomorrow, dealing with men, I mean, like, again, I'm saying I'm going out on the altar, but until man is totally submitted, every area in his life, physical, his flesh, his mind, his thought, life until it's all submitted to God, he is absolutely no good for no woman at all.
And women hear that. So as you choosing, as you are making your choice, you need to think about that. Because I think Pastor Harris said, one of you said, you are setting, if you're going outside of that, you're setting yourself. I think that was you, Pastor Harris, talking about being submissive to a man who is not of God, and women going into it knowing that you can't expect what you can't expect it to work. You just cannot.
Right, at all.
Yeah.
And I feel like you're saying that about men, same for women. Because
absolutely,
we're quiet, but women, I hate to say it here, but we do it better. We just have a way of doing it better and hiding it.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Absolutely.
So really,
absolutely.
I mean, you guys get it because you just really don't know how to do it. See, I'm serious. I'm just keeping it real. By the time a man finds out what his woman doing, she like, I ain't doing it, and she's right because she ain't doing it anymore.
It's over.
I did, and I'm through. Now I can tell you I'm not doing it, but see, we so slick and good with what we do, and I'm just keeping it real.
Right, right.
Y'all are a little bit too messy with yours. You don't know
messy.
How to do it. Right, right. We, you know, you bring it home and we leave it out. We cover it up. We know how to do it. I mean, I'm just keeping it real. So
come on, Sister Tammy, help me, help us out, help me and Steve out.
Because y'all really do think y'all run the show, but at the end of the day, you run it, but not in that. The women, y'all get the heat for a lot more than we do.
Right, right. Women doing just as much.
Women are doing
just as
much.
They're
just
a little more discreet and more tactful with it.
Very much so.
Mm-hmm.
Very much more tactful.
Right, right.
And at the end of the day, for those two entities to come together, that the bottom line, that kings and queens have to come really clean and be done with the wayward lifestyle, or to look like God, the form of godliness, and say, you know what, God, I made a mess. I've been a mess. This is my mess.
I
am a mess, and I need to go forward, God.
Right, right.
And we don't want to fool ourselves thinking I'm going to go forward, but I'm going to have all this iniquity that's hidden. The church don't see it. The pastor don't see it. She don't see it, but God see it. And I want God to bless me openly, and I'm doing some dirt behind the closed door, sneaking and texting. You know, my name's Jim Bean, or Jim somebody on a social network with another address and another email, and I'm slick willy with it. God says, look, put all that on the altar, shut all that down. If you want me to really bless you, come
Amen.
Clean.
Amen.
Just come
Amen.
All the way clean with it.
Amen.
Come all the way clean with it. And what happens is when kings and queens do not come clean, they make a wreck of each other's lives.
And not only each other, but you think about the children that we bring into this world that have to go through this process. I mean, they have to go through a process of seeing, I've seen it. I've seen kids just broken,
right,
broken down
right.
Because two people, I mean, they could be people so deep-bedded in the church, both of them, but at the drop of divorce, their kids feel like they absolutely hate each other, and they do. I mean, they and how can your kids look at you're my one plus one, so I'm you and I'm you. So if you two hate each other, where do I fit in? Where am I in all this? Who am I in all this? So not only are we affecting our own lives personally, and I want to read the verse that Steve gave us a little bit earlier, and I'll end with that. But I want you to realize this is not just about you. This is not just about you and a man. This is about your relationship, number one, and first and foremost, with your Creator, with the Heavenly Father. Until you get the love for God right, you ain't gonna, I'm gonna say, ain't gonna never know how to love yourself or anybody else, your neighbor, your husband, your wife. Even the way I feel like I've become a better mother since growing more in Christ. Over Brandon. Now I know how to let it go and say, you know what? God let me borrow you. You don't even belong to me.
Amen.
So it really does shape your life, and you start to live to bring glory to the kingdom, to God and his word. You're no longer seeking satisfaction for yourself. You no longer need somebody to see you in this car, that car. I went to a presentation, and all I kept hearing the guy say was, you know, you can get this BMW. And I was sitting there thinking, you know what, I don't care nothing about no BMW or nothing else. I don't want a BMW. I don't want to sell this mess, because all I really want people to know is about God, who changed my life, who is changing my life every day. Amen. I don't need them to see a BMW pull up.
Amen.
Don't even want a BMW. That's just like a Coach bag or whatever else they got. I don't even want one. But don't buy me one for a gift, because I don't want to be associated. I want you to see me and see God.
Amen. Amen, sir.
So I want to read this, and Pastor Harris, I don't know if you have to go, but if you do.
Let me give on the other side as a brother who is married, all right, and brother who's been through, like as Brother Steve said, that has been through. I was quiet for a minute because it was a moment of deep emotion because Steve reminded me of something because we do have a relationship. And it was a moment of gratitude, and for those who are out there, and I don't you know, for me this is not I don't do this for fun. I'm doing this because this is commanded by God, and this is my passion to do, But I know that what we're talking about, Brother Steve, is something that would change somebody's life if they let it. It'll change their life. It'll change. It will make a bad man want to do right. It'll change. It will create an atmosphere in your home that the glory of God is in your home and in your life. And I say that because after a while, for those out there that are listening, the single persons and those that are in relationships, if they would take the risk to try some of these things that we're talking about right now and pray about and let God be God of their life and let God be the source of their strength and the center of their joy, then you'll find that I can say that I'm a good husband, but I'm still not Jesus, and I can make a. I'm a good pastor, and I'm still not Jesus. So I reckon. And Donna is a good wife, but I remember as long as I got God as God, like that first commandment that you're talking about, Brother Steve, my love for God and my relationship with God, like that first step you were talking about, Steve, and her failure or my failure or my shortcomings or her shortcomings because of this love I have for God and because of his love that translates into my life and because I have a relationship with him. Did that relationship translate in the other relationship? If I got a relationship with him, Brother Steve, any other relationship in my life, God will give me the grace that work with anything else. If I got a relationship with God, that relationship I got with God, that means I can talk to him, I can tell him my shortcomings, I can tell him when I'm struggling, I can tell him what I'm feeling, I can tell him when I'm scared, I can tell him when I'm feeling lustful, I can tell him when I'm feeling like I'm betrayed or I'm angry or I'm frustrated, but I can talk to him and he'll make everything in me right, and then I can go back and have the relationship with my wife and my children that I'm supposed to have. But it's God that gives me the ability to do everything else. My source and my resource, Brother Steve, is God.
Right.
And then once I got that, if I got God as my source and my resource, Tammy, now I can be the husband, the friend, the lover, the father, the person, the brother. I mean, I can be all of them things, but it all, like you said, Steve, it does boil down to that very first commandment about my relationship with God. And I wanted to say this too for those who are out there, that when if you go through these steps and you practice these steps every day in your relationship with yourself first and then the person that you're in love with, that you've committed to be in love with, then all of a sudden that you don't have to worry about you anymore, Tammy, because you know what? Your whole life will be enthralled in pleasing your husband, and his whole life will be enthralled in pleasing you. You won't have to worry about you no more. While you out at work thinking about, you know, what I'm gonna do for the day, and thinking about what we're gonna eat when we get home, and what we're gonna do, he'll be thinking the same thing about you. I wonder what she needs. I wonder what she wants. I wonder what can I, you know what I mean? Like all of a sudden you can lose yourself, because all of our life as single people, Brother Steve, is all about me. It's all about me. What I'm gonna get, how I'm gonna get out. You know, I used to keep score, Steve. I would keep score. Nobody's gonna come out on better than me in a relationship. I'm gonna make sure I come out on. Take me. If I take you to the movies, you're gonna take me to a play. If I buy you a shirt, you're gonna buy me a suit. You know what I mean? I was always keeping score. But once you fall in love, then there is no score. It's because my whole life is now we're in a love contest. Who can outlove each other? Love becomes a barometer of success. How much can I show her my love, and she's trying to outlove me too at the same time? And when you got two people trying to outlove each other, then man, ain't nothing better than that, Sister Tammy.
Yes, sir.
And that's what
ain't nothing better than that. Hey, when listen, see, when there's a love contest, how you know I'm outlove you today, and she be like, no, you're not, because I'm outlove you today. You know what I mean? Guess what? That's the best competition to ever have.
When that
love is centered around Christ and comes from Christ, then that relationship will be a relationship that you can write a book about. It's something that nothing that the enemy could do to tear it apart, because God is the source of it and God is the resource of it, and so it cannot fail.
That's right.
Amen. And for those who I really hope that. For our people who are listening who are single or even married, that it helps, number one, for you single people to again, do better about your choices. Do better about your relationship with God, because once that happens, I mean, it's your foundation. And take a look into your future. Imagine yourself. For me, I can hardly wait. I mean, I can wait, but the joy of seeing Brandon and his wife that I hope he'll have forever whenever he gets to that point, ride up to drop my grandkids off. And then for Brandon to be able to see his grandkids along with his wife. I mean, for me, that part is gone of having someone to share with who can remember and look at me and say, hey, Brandon used to do the same thing. But the joy of seeing families come back and come back and come back, where they don't have to share Christmases and Thanksgivings. Now kids are split. They have to go here for Thanksgiving or here on Christmas Eve and here on Christmas Day. I mean, imagine that life. So you're not just hurting yourself. And even Pastor Harris spoke earlier about loving a mother's love, or we can just say a parent's love. If you really look at how parents are loving their children today, the action that they're putting behind that word love, it makes me wonder, do you really love your child?
We're
to a point where you got to question if a mother, when you got to question if a mother loves her child and a father, you know, we're in bad shape. Because, again, I will be ran over 2-3 times by the same truck. I would say, come on with it again for my child. But when you get to a point where you're questioning it, and you see young people, you know the young people have to be questioning it as well.
Right.
So what is love? How do you define love? And are we loving? Is it really love that you are putting out? So see, while you waiting to be shown love, we got to show love. And so it's like you say, Pastor Harris, you was keeping score. I've been there, done that too. Well, when you get to a place where you know you keeping score. You're not keeping score with someone else. You are trying to score. You're working to score and bring glory to that kingdom, to your godly living. You're working to become better, do better, live better, love better. Like Steve said, in every area, in your finances, in the way you love, in the way you go to work. You know, you've heard the saying, if you sweep the streets, sweep them as you are bringing glory to God.
Right.
And whatever you do.
Amen.
So, I want to... Anything, Pastor Harris?
No, I've been blessed, and I just thank y'all for letting me be a part of this this meeting. Thank you, Brother Steve.
Please
bless you. Bless
Harris,
you, Reverend.
Hello.
Justin. Amen.
Tell Sister Harris we said hello.
I sure will.
Okay.
Amen. God bless you, Pastor.
Bless you. Bless you, Reverend.
I'm going to end with the scripture that Steve shared with us from Deuteronomy earlier. But before doing that, I want to share. I heard a sermon being preached by Pastor Hagee, and it was the young Pastor Hagee. So I don't know if it's Hagee Jr., but it was a young one, not the older one. And he mentioned that, for instance, let's look at the way that we talk about. We all talk about prayer being taken out of school and so many other things. But what his sermon said was, you know, we worry about and we talk about prayer not being in school, but we don't have prayer in our homes. We talk about Bible study and prayer night not being in church, but we don't have them in our homes.
Amen.
So if you're not studying the Word of God with your children, or you're not studying the Word of God for yourself, if you're not praying to God, if you're not praying with God, with your children, if your children don't see you reading your Bible and praying and then see you living it, then who are we to talk about it not being in the school? Who are we to talk about it not being in the church? Because if it started in our households, if it started in our households, then it would be in our schools, because our kids are in our schools, the teachers are in our schools. So if the teachers were praying and reading the Word at home, if the children saw you doing it, living it, then we are the church. We become the church. Now we take that into the church. We take that into the schools. We take that out into the world. So is it really love? And I asked that. I really didn't know where I was going to go with that. That really was just the eye catcher, eye candy for you guys to tune in. But as I finish tonight, then is it really love? Do you really love God?
That's
and if
right.
you do, are you really being obedient? Are you really seeking God? Are you really seeking the kingdom of God and the righteousness? Are you? Is it really love? That's where it starts. And I'm going to end. The lines are open, so I'm ending it here. If you guys have something to share, please feel free. But I want to read this verse again. And again, it comes from Deuteronomy 6, 15. Is it 15?
6:4,
look like. Okay, 6:4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord of God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. In your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children.
Diligently.
And shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates.
That's a lot.
That's why I wanted to share that, because that's kind of saying the same thing that I heard, and I just remember being, wow, you're right. Who are we to talk about what's not at school and the church when it's not in our home?
Right.
When it's not in our lives, when we're not doing it.
Amen, sis. Amen.
So, you know, Pastor Harris, I know you come at it twice a day, you know, with the prayer
Amen.
Line.
Amen.
So just think about that. So is it really love that you have for your Creator? Is it really love? And if it is, how are you doing with it? Are you keeping score? Do you think God's keeping score? Are you trying to love and become Christ-like? Are you loving better, living better? Do you see change in your life?
Victory.
Right. Are you being delivered? Are you establishing the peace that surpasses all? Because that's a sign of you becoming that person that Pastor Harris talked about, that one whole, complete person.
Yes.
And when
yes.
you're one and you're whole and you're happy, you can figure out and kind of you just can detect. It's like your spiritual alarm go off in your soul and your spirit that, hey, listen to it. Something's not right.
That's right.
Lord.
And you know what? When you really submit it, and that's why I thank God. We have to. When a woman of God and a man of God is truly submitted, You can see the submission. You ain't got to tell me about it. I can see the submission. It ain't because you quote 100,000 scriptures. It ain't because you go to church every Sunday. It's in a submission. And through the spirit realm, God will reveal himself. You can see that. You can see that. And I think until we get to that place, and I'm preaching to me, until we get to that place to where every aspect of our lives are submitted to God, that he's Lord over everything, not five things and the other three things, we in control of it, but everything in your life where God is truly the Lord in your life. And that's why, again, I want to just interject that tomorrow when kings and queens come clean, what has happened is we got a nation of people, a group of people marrying for all the wrong reason. They lusting for all the wrong reason. They're together because somebody told them they need to be together because they look good together. And most of them have jumped in the bed with each other first and never really got to know who they got in the bed with. So now they got hooked on the sex, hooked on the feeling, hooked on the emotion, and that's all they got hooked on.
They have allowed it, having someone or being married, as defining who they are.
Exactly.
If you're not married, if you don't have a man, even now you have young girls, because they don't have a boyfriend at the age of 14 or 13, they think, well, I'm ugly. Well, nobody likes
right.
me. Well, they
right.
have. You talk about 13 and 14. Where do the young girls go from there? If you already think at 13 and 14, because some guy does not like you, then that makes you not so good, or you need to work on this or work on that, or you're ugly, and they think this.
Right.
They
right.
really are. Our young girls and our young men are going through it. And that's why it is so important that we do come clean. Because we walk around here trying to hide it, and just about everybody is having the same emotions, the same feelings, and going through the same thing. Well, guess what? Coming clean is half the battle, because you're saying, Satan, this is no longer hidden.
Exactly.
We got this out, and now we're going to deal with it so that mothers and fathers can stay together and raise their children.
That's right.
And love
right.
and let their children see them loving one another. Being committed to one another,
exactly,
being honest
exactly.
with one another, trying to beat each other in, like Pastor Harris said, in loving one another.
Right, right, right.
In a couple of weeks, I'm going to have a show with two families. I know one. I'm still working on the other one. But two families who have stuck this thing out. Not had a perfect marriage, but they are seeing their kids go off to college and come
right.
back with their grandkids. They're able to babysit their grandkids. They're able to spend the holidays together. They waiting to see their grandkids have kids. And that's
Amen.
What I want you to really think about, the joy in that.
That's right.
What you're messing this up for over some pettiness, over you didn't take out the trash, you didn't wash the dishes, you didn't wash my shirt, you didn't do this, you didn't do that. Come on, you're talking about a lifetime here. Memories, babies, families, love. You're talking about something that you cannot replace easily.
Right, right, right. And you know what? Just even saying that, just it brings to my mind that I think the Bible teaches about the older generation, such as ourselves, should live a lifestyle to be able to teach the younger generation. And there's so many things that I know now and wish I had known back then, that the times, you know, being sexually active without being married, not even knowing who God is and making these babies, and you got baby mamas and you got all this stuff going on to where it's just a big mess sometimes. And then if you don't understand it, then how can we change a generation when the older generation continues to do the exact same thing? When you got the older mothers trying to go with the daughter's boyfriend, or you got the older brothers dressing like they 20 years old, still sagging, and I'm talking about just no real order, no real understanding of God. And we, you know, the TV's on more reality shows and more men sitting out in front of a basketball game. And I'm not saying it's a sin to watch basketball games, but it's something wrong if you know more about LeBron James than you do Joshua in the book of Joshua. Something wrong if you can't teach your kids about the word of God, but you can tell them about Tiger Woods. Something wrong if you know more about T.I. and 50 Cent than you know more about Ananias and Sapphira. Something wrong. And yet we expect these kids to walk a life and walk in victory when we don't have it.
Not
we don't
that,
have it.
If you know more about, when you say LeBron James.
LeBron James.
You know, when they
call him King James.
You know how many shots he's made.
Right.
In his career, but you don't know what your child made on the report card last
year. Oh, the SAT.
You don't know that he has football practice or he has reading. But you don't know his teacher's name.
Exactly. Exactly.
You may not even know what time he get out of school. What time he go to lunch?
Exactly.
What school he go to?
What grade he fell in?
I mean, really.
But you can tell me how many free throws LeBron James would hit.
Exactly.
You can tell me how many.
Amen.
And see, something wrong with that picture. We done got so into being entertained instead of being. Exactly. You know, from the iPad to the iPod to the tablet to the DS game, everything else is going on in the home other than in the Word of God. And I just thank God that tomorrow, men, kings, queens, we have to come clean in so many areas of our lives. And I know I'm putting myself on the altar. Ain't no shame in the game. I'm expose the truth, expose the devil. And let God be glorified, because it's the hidden sins which they define in the Bible as iniquity. Well, we look saved, we look righteous, we walk righteous, we got on a nice suit and tie, we drive a nice car, live in a nice house, got the yard tiller, but our insides is tore up full of dead men bones, and our children suffer, our next door neighbors suffer, our coworkers suffer. The people that surround us in our proximity, they are suffering because we're hiding our own pain. When we go to church, we're all actors. Oh, come on, we are acting. We can get Hollywood nominated because of how we act in the church. And I think it's time if we come clean and say, Lord,
amen,
I'm tired of living a double life. I'm tired of fornicating and not amending. God, I'm struggling in that area. God, I'm tired of the things I'm doing in the dark. Because, listen, when you're doing it in the dark, even if you're with somebody, you say your significant other, you really can't give them the fullness of you because your mind is preoccupied. It's preoccupied. So I just think it really has to go back to, I think the church has to do a restudy on the love the Lord your God with all your heart. What that look like? How many of us are still in love with God? Can't wait till the church doors open up. Can't read enough of the word. Matter of fact, can't go to sleep until we read the word. The TV is on the word. The radio is on the word. Remember when we used to have that fighting for God like that? I want to know more about God. And every time we read a scripture, there's a revelation. How many of us are really loving God with our whole heart, our whole mind, our whole soul? Because until we master that, I can't love no woman. Oh, I can act like I love one. And a woman can't love no man. She can act like she love one. And guess what? When we get through acting like it, now we got to do it. We got to show it in a physical format, because our act done went as far as it can go, because it's only an act.
Right.
But how do we love the Lord thy God with all our heart, all our mind, all our soul? You first got to come clean. God, I'm a big old mess. I'm a big great mess.
You know, if we all would admit it, I heard, not pastor, but the person who's running for mayor, and he said if we would all be honest, we'd all say we all just a big old bundle of mess. And we are.
On our best day.
We are. But the allowing the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, changes your heart.
Yes.
And when your heart changes, your mind changes, your thought changes, your life changes, the people around you begin to change, because they be like, what's going on? They talk to you and they hear the joy. You ain't broken.
Yes.
You know, sometimes we just got to get real with it and remember what God said. The battle ain't ours. He said he'll make our enemies, he'll prepare a place before us.
But
our enemies. He orders our steps. So why are we running around worrying about anything?
But the lady at the well, she said it best. It don't take you all day to change. All you need is an encounter. Well, what encounter? An encounter with God. An encounter with the truth. An encounter with who you really are. An encounter with what you really need to be doing. Jesus met the lady at the well. The lady came to the well. Pastor Harry, you know the story. Like, I know the story. Like, we know the story. This woman was very promiscuous, had not been sleeping around. Matter of fact, she was sleeping with guys who weren't even her husband. But she had one authentic encounter with the truth. You know what? Because when you're in sin, let's be honest.
How many have you had? Stop there. Just not you, but saying to the people.
You got to what I mean?
I mean, because it's for me, if I think about, I got to a point in my life where I felt like God was saying, do we got to do this again? Do I have to show you again? Do you
exactly.
need another sign? I mean, I've been laid at the well so many times. God probably like, I'm going to have to just drown you. I'm going to have to just drown
exactly,
you and bring
exactly.
you back to life for you to get it. So
right.
for our listeners, how many encounters have you had? And if you think about those encounters, is it really love?
Right, right.
I bring it right back to the question. Encounter after encounter after encounter. How many more do we really need?
Until we meet Christ. And if we all be honest, Sister Tammy and Pastor Harris, sin don't feel good. If you ever really been touched by God, in Hebrews, I think chapter 6 speaks of it, it don't feel good.
No.
You listen, it only feel good for a season. But if we all be honest, you ain't happy. You sneaking around. You don't feel so good after the fact. And at the end of the day, you really lowered your standard. You lose yourself. It don't feel good. But the lady at the well had an encounter with Jesus Christ. In that encounter, the Bible says she went back and got a whole entire city. Listen. What if we had an encounter with Jesus, a real encounter, and then go back and get the city? And we can break that city down. The people that's in our lives, we have a real encounter. They know what we was. They know how we was rolling, know what we was doing. What if we have an encounter, a real encounter, come clean with God, and go back and get the city? What
Amen.
Difference would that make so many people lives? So many people are so busy hiding and trying to keep up with reality TV and trying to dress like the Joneses. Now, there ain't nothing wrong with nice stuff, but it's something wrong if the nice stuff defines you. It defines who you are. And without it, you have no personality. Without it, you don't have no joy. Without it, you don't have no peace. And the only peace you get is with stuff and not with God. We need to have an encounter and come clean. The lady at the well had an encounter, she came clean. Bottom line, it's just time to come clean. Sister Tim, I'm done.
Amen. All right. Well, I think we can end it right there, and I do want to just thank you all for, I know we've been trying to end it for the last hour, but thank you all for hanging in with us, and I have neglected the chat. Okay, we're good there. Want to remind you about tomorrow's show, 8 o'clock Central Standard Time, 9 Eastern Standard Time. Steve is going to be hosting Kings and Queens Coming Clean or Come Clean. I'm going to be on this one tomorrow. I'm going to just kind of sit in and be a listener as well like you are. So please go out, tell your brothers, your sisters, bring your wives, bring your husbands, bring your women, bring your boyfriend or whatever. But just share the show.
Live in, partner, pook it down. You know, I mean, be honest about it. It's a lot of people in a lot of situations.
Right.
You have a lot of people still shacking up. They don't understand the dynamics. As a matter of fact, they ain't shacking up. They roommates now. It ain't a shack up situation. They just roommates because they tolerate some stuff. But at the end of the day, I think we all want to just get it right.
Right.
Yeah, we don't really know how to get it right, and we don't know how to go to the church because it seems like we go to the church, you may be judged. But at the end of the day, if you just want to get it right as a man, listen, I know I'm going on the altar tomorrow. I know I'm going to be on the altar tomorrow. I'm coming clean with my stuff, what God has showed me, what God delivered me from, what God brought me out. And I made a lot of mistakes. I've been through some relationships. I'm talking about good women. I ain't talking about no bad women. I'm just talking about some good women in the church. And still yet, made a plethora of different mistakes. And tomorrow we want to come clean, come correct, and God, purge my heart, purge my mind. And there's some people in some situations, whether you're shacking up, living together, boyfriend, girlfriend, divorcee, separated, whatever.
Amen.
It's just about coming clean tomorrow.
Amen. You know, you said, and I really am going to end it after this, you said about...
really?
right.
Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Coming clean and doing right. You know, God just put in my spirit, people, we follow what's popular.
Exactly.
So what that tells you to cheat, to do what's wrong, to sag, that's popular. So what if more people were loving God with all their strength, heart, soul, and mind? What if our children were able to see us going to church, reading our word, praying? What if that was popular?
The norm.
How would it change this world?
Drastically.
But see, we sitting back, we too quiet for me.
Right.
Too quiet. If church ain't going on, if Bible study and prayer is not going on in the church that you are a member of, attending every Sunday, then it should be enough people in there that are praying at home, reading their Bible at home, to be, Pastor, we got people out there. We need to be coming together as a body of Christ, praying, studying our word together. I'm not talking about small groups here and there. No, we need to be the body of Christ. At least, if it's not once a week, we should come together once a month.
And then go knock
testimony,
on,
prayer,
knock on doors.
Right, but see, all that's gonna get you out. Your life.
Right.
Sometimes you just go to the grocery store, and you become the church. You are the church.
Right.
You
right.
are the ministry. But it's not popular.
Exactly.
It's just quiet.
Exactly.
It's just quiet.
Exactly.
So is it really love? And I'm talking about the love you have for God. Is it really love? If so, how are you loving God? How do you think you're doing on that? If you ask God, do you think I love you? Because you know you've asked the men and women that question. Women, you've asked the man, do you love me or do you think I love you? Well, if you asked God that tonight, what would you think God would say? That's a good question.
Amen.
So. Please join us tomorrow, 8 o'clock Central Time, 9 Eastern. Same number, call in, 818-691-7406. You can also listen online. The show is already posted on Blog Talk. We're going to blast it on Facebook tonight. Please, when you see that, please share it and invite your friends as well. You can do that. So if you have an event and someone sends it to you, you can actually create an event from that and share it with all of your friends as well. And that's another sign of growing as well. You know, I used to want what I wanted, and I wanted it only for me. I've gotten to a point where everything I get, every piece of knowledge, every thing God gives me, I'm like, oh, I got to get that out. I want somebody else to see this. I want somebody else to be blessed by that. And, I mean, it's starting to be in every area,
even
the smallest little things. So change is happening, and that change needs to become popular. So
right.
Join us tomorrow.
It's going to be reality.
Right.
It's going to be a reality. It's going to be a real live reality conversation tomorrow. It's going to be just going to be reality where we are as a church, as a body of believers and non-believers, just as people, as men, as individuals, as humans. Where are we at?
Right, right.
And then to come clean with our lifestyle. I'm talking about even the best of the best. Just we want to come clean and be right before God.
Right.
Just, Lord, just line my stuff up. I'm going to dump it all out. The Bible says, and I'm done, come unto me, all ye who are heavily laden, heavily burdened, learn of me, take up my yoke, for my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. That's a clarion call. Come unto me, all ye. It didn't say what kind of credit you got, what kind of car you drive, where you live, what you're doing, what you caught up in. If you have it, if you heavy, if you tired, if you done with it, if you won't change, come on to me. Not Cleo with the 1-800 Saga hotline. Not to go play some scratch off tickets. Come on now, I'm just keeping it 100. Not to the club, not DJ, because you know DJ will do what he do, and not Tracy, because Tracy will do what she do. But come on to me, which is Christ. Jesus saying, come on. It don't even matter who you are, what you've done, how long you've been doing it. Come unto me. And tomorrow is a clarion call for every man, every woman, kings and queens. It is time to come clean. Single brother, there's a way you have to live single. And is it easy? No. Is it easy? No. I can say that 100,000 times. don't have a little money. Don't have your own place to stay, your own car to drive, and you only responsible for you. What's the challenge? How do you date women in the church? When do you say no? What's inappropriate? What's too long? What's too far? What's not God?
Tomorrow.
Oh, okay.
Okay, I'm trying to tell him that kings and queens come clean is tomorrow. Isn't it good to not be able to be quiet about the Lord? You know,
amen.
We've been trying to get off and hang up for quite a while here, but praise to God, because that means we're excited about the Word of God and what the Word of God does in our lives. So, please, I hope somebody receives this, but there is someone out there that knows a couple, I know it, that is going through it. There's probably a number of them, but I feel like for those of you who are still on with us, have some couples, a couple that you know, tune in, because I feel like there's a lot of people that are about to walk away from so much. And it's not really, you guys, because they don't love each other. It's just that we don't know how to love.
Right.
We don't know how to experience and give and receive love. So if you know someone who is struggling with their marriage, who's going through some things, invite them to listen in to the show tomorrow. And just come clean with one another. They can come clean after the show, you know, and just really pour it out and then start from that night. So without further ado, we're going to bring it to a close. For those of you who are listening, I have not been sending out the texts to the show because I lost all of my contact numbers. So for those of you who are used to getting reminders, please text me your number and say, this is whoever, because I have very few contacts left in my phone. I was able to get some of them just through some texts. But if you're listening and I had your numbers or number, please text me and say, this is whomever and this is my number, so that I can re-log you in my phone. And hopefully I'll have that straightened out this time. This is about the fifth time around that I've lost my contact. So please send those to me and I'll get back on sending the texts out for the show. Great show tonight. Hope we're all going to love a little better tonight. Start tonight, because tomorrow is not promised. It's been a pleasure spending this Monday night with you all, and I leave you with Is It Really Love? Until tomorrow night, again, same time, same number, and same Butterfly Evolution line. So just call us in and ask your questions or listen in tomorrow. Thank you, and have a great night.